Hey, did you have a nice Christmas? We had such a good Christmas as a church family, I believe. And also the Shields family had a wonderful Christmas together. I think that one of my highlights of Christmas was the Christmas Eve service. Were you here for that and did you enjoy it? It was one of those services where you could just sense God's presence in a very, very real way. And I hope it was a blessing to you. And I hope that you enjoyed being here for that. I hope that frequently when you're at Kerbinsville Alliance, you would say, wow, I love just sensing what God is doing. Because that's really the desire of our heart always, that you would recognize that God is here and acknowledge Him. So if you would, as you remain seated, let's just bow our hearts together in prayer. Father in heaven, as we look into what you have for us today, and as we look at a variety of scripture passages, of Bible verses, I would pray that we would sense your presence with us and sense your nearness. Not because we're looking for some kind of spiritual, exciting experience, but rather we are looking for you to be near to us, to show us how to live, and to fill us with your Spirit's presence in ways that you haven't in the past, so that all that we would do would be pleasing to you, so we could answer your call to holiness, your call to salvation, your call to service. So we place this prayer before you, expectantly, looking for you to answer. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen. Amen. If you have your Bible today, you're welcome to open it. I'm going to have many of the scriptures on the screen in front of us here, but you're welcome to open it if you'd like to 2 Timothy. We're going to be looking at verse 9 in a little bit, but we're going to look at a lot of scripture passages, and I haven't put them all up here. I'm going to just reference some of them on the screen. If you're the kind of person who enjoys taking notes and then looking over them later, maybe you'll want to jot down some of those references. You could look those up in your quiet time, or whatever is beneficial for you. No doubt you have heard the phrase, he missed his calling. It's a phrase we use when we see that someone is really good at something, but that's not what they're doing with their life. Or they're really interested in this, but they're doing that instead. Maybe you hear someone who works as an accountant somewhere, you know, and you happen to hear them singing one day at their desk, and you think, what a beautiful voice that is. That man missed his calling. He should have been a singer because he's really good at it. We use that phrase a lot. And there are people who don't believe in a calling. You know, I can remember speaking to some church leaders through the years who said, I don't believe there is such a thing as a calling from God. And they can feel that way if they want to. They're welcome to be wrong. I allow that. Because I believe that there is a calling from God. In fact, I believe that God calls us in many ways, and on many levels He calls us, in many ways and on many levels. For example, I believe that it takes a special call to be a missionary, that if you go to be a missionary and you're not called by God, you will always be frustrated. And I would say the same thing maybe pastorally, that it takes a special call. Not everyone believes that, but I know that if I personally did not feel like I had a call from God, I'd have given up long ago on being a pastor. There is a specialization in ministry sometimes that it takes a call just to stick with it. I can remember Dr. Sovine, who taught homiletics at Toccoa Falls. That's preaching at Toccoa Falls. I can remember him saying, gentlemen, if you are called to do anything besides preach, then by all means do anything besides preach. If you can, he would even say, if you can escape from preaching, then by all means, escape. Because you'll need to have that call to get through the hard times in ministry. And you know, Charles Spurgeon, none of you know him personally, because he died over 100 years ago. But Charles Spurgeon was a great preacher of the 1800s. And a great author. Many of you, I'm sure, have read his stuff. Maybe you didn't even know it was Spurgeon you were reading. But Spurgeon said this one time. He said, if God calls you to be a preacher, don't ever stoop to be a king. And you understand that Spurgeon was saying there is a specialized ministry that sometimes God calls people to. And yeah, I think that is the case. But sometimes we make the mistake of feeling like, well, either you're called or you're not. That person's called to ministry and I'm not, so I just sit here and don't do anything. And that's really missing this aspect of the many levels of God's call. I believe that God also can call you to short-term tasks, to something that isn't necessarily a lifestyle or a lifetime occupation, but it could be a short-term kind of thing. Have you ever been sitting around, maybe you're reading your Bible, or you've been praying, or you're listening to some Christian music or something, and God just puts on your heart, boy, maybe you ought to go visit Mrs. Smith. I'll bet Mrs. Smith would like to have a visit. Now, don't miss that when that occurs, because I believe that's a call from God. I believe that because there have been many times when that has happened in my life, and I have fulfilled it. I don't always answer the call. I should, but sometimes I fail. But there are many times in life when I've had that call and I fulfilled it, and I got there, and it was just the right time. One of the most obvious of those was when Tanya's grandpa was dying. I was sitting in a Bible study, and I didn't hear a voice. There was no writing on the wall, but he came to my mind, and I just felt this sense, I should go to see Bob. And I left the Bible study, in the middle of the Bible study. And when I got there, I'll bet it wasn't 10 or 15 minutes until he passed away. I hadn't been to see him in several days, and that was God's call. Now, it's not always that dramatic. God can call you for short-term things like just write a note of encouragement to someone. Or he can call you maybe to give someone a gift or something like that. Do not think that if your call is not to some specialized ministry, you're not called. I think God calls you in many ways, on many levels. And in fact, one of the ways that God calls all of us is to a deeper commitment. That's a real kind of a call that God places on the life of his followers. And by the way, I'm sure you've seen people like this who say, you know, he's called to that close, dedicated walk with God. I'm just not called to that. And that's not the case. It is God's will that all of us be fully committed and fully devoted to him in Christ Jesus. It's God's will that all of us, the theological language goes, be sanctified wholly through and through. God calls all of us to that deep commitment to him. You know, today at the close of the sermon, we're going to be taking in some new members to our church family. And I don't want to say this. I don't want to say that you have to be called by God to become a member. I would hope, though, that anyone becoming a member, such a serious commitment as that and serious step as that, has done so because they've sensed God's direction in their life. You know, I feel like God wants me to become more committed to this church and to really give myself to the people who are here. Because membership in a local congregation, that's an important part in the life of most Christians. And it means a lot in sense of commitment and in sense of connection. Consider your own call and what God is leading you to do in your life. You know, I want to kind of speak to you about three calls that God places before you. And the first call is real obvious. It's the call to become a follower of Christ. God calls everyone to become a follower of Christ. And there's a zillion passages that I could have shared with you about this. I shared Matthew 4:19 because I have it memorized. That's where Jesus says to the disciples, he says, come follow me. They're fishing, you know. And he says in Matthew 4:19, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. There's the call to salvation. It is a call to become a follower of Christ. And did you notice that when he does that, there's some consequences to that? He doesn't just say, come follow me. He says, I have something for you when you follow me. And I'm looking for a response from you. I'm looking for you to reply to that call or not. There's sort of an RSVP attached to his call to salvation. And it requires a response. And in fact, in the very next verse, which is not on the screen before you, but Matthew 4:19 says, Jesus said, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. The next verse says, at once they left their nets and they followed him. So you see that this call to salvation requires that you stop doing something and begin doing something new. In fact, when Jesus calls you, it always, always necessitates some kind of a change in your life. The passage that's in parentheses there, 2 Timothy 1:9, says about God who has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. That's the passage I ask you to open your Bible to at the start, isn't it? Is that what it says there? Look at it again. Read it again. Speaking of God, in 2 Timothy 1:9 it says, who has saved us and called us to live a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own. And I would underline the words purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. If God calls you to salvation because He has a purpose for your life, then that call will involve change in your life. You can't become a Christian. You can't say, yes, I'm a Christian, and keep living the way you did beforehand. You've maybe heard of the gangster who came to know Christ as his Savior, or at least he said he did, decades ago. But he continued in a life of drug dealing and of money laundering and everything else that they laundering and everything else they would do as gangsters. And someone went up to him and said, hey, you say you're a Christian, but you're still doing the gangster thing. What's up with that? And he says, well, you know, a person might be a farmer and he can be a Christian farmer, and another person might be a contractor and he can be a Christian contractor. I'm just a Christian gangster. No. No, that doesn't work. You see, coming to salvation in Christ involves something needing to change. Coming to salvation in Christ also involves the grace of God being manifested in your life. You know, there are a couple places where you can receive a call. Just imagine you didn't have a job. You put in your name to a dozen places. That's not very many places to put your name in. But you're waiting and waiting and waiting for a call. When you don't receive it, that can be a real heartache. And when that phone rings and you get that call, that's a blessing. That is a kind of call that Jesus gives you. It's an honor, in a sense, to be called by Him. And when you're called by Him, it also brings about a sense of hope. The call of God to salvation brings hope in our life. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, just let me read this. The Apostle Paul is writing to Christians, and he says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened in order that you might know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength. He goes on to say it's like the power that He gave when He raised Jesus from the dead. That kind of hope belongs to us, that power belongs to us. And the forgiveness of sin belongs to us, and the hope of eternal life. And by the way, we use the word hope in a very contemporary way, and we say, well, you know, I kind of hope the Steelers win today. Don't know if they will, but I kind of hope they do. In the Bible times, when they spoke of this kind of hope, they were saying, this is a certain conviction I have. I haven't received it yet, but I know I'm gonna. That's what hope meant to them. It was a future certainty. And our call to salvation gives us hope. And fourth, our call to salvation gives us friendship with God. In John 15, Jesus is talking to His disciples. He says, I no longer call you servants. Instead, I call you friends. Now, although I generally don't do this, because in our society, it seems to lack the respect that I would intend, I could do this. I could tell you, Jesus is my bud, and that would be right. You have a hunting buddy, you have your bowling pals, and you have Jesus, your buddy, your friend. Because without taking the respect He deserves as a Son of God, who created all there is and died for our sins and rose from the dead, without pulling that respect out of that, He calls you His friend. In fact, the author of Hebrews says, that he calls us his brother. Wow. That's what's involved in the call to salvation for us. The second kind of call is the call to holiness, or a call to purity, or a call to be set apart. You think about that phrase, being set apart, and you think, well, not everybody can be set apart. And I think this is why a lot of people feel like, okay, I'm a Christian, but that real deep commitment to God, that's not for me. That's for other guys, but it's not for me. That's for missionaries, that's for pastors, that's for elders, but it's not for me. After all, if you had a bushel of apples and you began to sort them, setting the best one apart, and you set them all in the same pile, you really haven't set anything apart, right? Well, yeah, you really have. You set all the good apples apart from what would be the non-good apples, the bad apples. And no matter how you slice it, there's always bad apples somewhere. He calls us really to turn our back on sin and to walk a walk of righteousness, of holiness, of purity, of separateness from sin. A great verse for this is in 1 Thessalonians 5. It says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." I love that. I love that for a number of reasons. One of the reasons I love it is that because it tells me that the work of being set apart belongs to God. It's not like I have to set a New Year's resolution and then try real hard myself. All I have to do is surrender to God, and he does the real hard work. And the second reason I really love it is because it tells me that I am called. So I need to answer that call. I do have the responsibility to pick up the phone and say, okay, God, I surrender to you. Peter elaborates on this. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, he says, "Prepare your minds for action." Now listen to what he says it means to be set apart from sin and dedicated to God. He says, "Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace given to you when Christ is revealed. Be obedient. Do not conform to evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Be holy, for it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" All of that is something we are called to, and all of us are called to it. A call to holiness. The third kind of call, or the third level of call, I guess you might say, that I'd like to discuss is a call to servanthood. I love Isaiah 41:10. I typed this out as I was talking to a friend of mine who was really going through a hard time with her children. And she and I were talking on the internet together. She's a relative of mine. And I just typed Isaiah 41:10 because she was feeling so weak. She was struggling so much. I haven't just typed it. I've read it to people going into surgery who wonder how they're going to make it. I've read it to widows at the hospital bed where their husband just passed away. It is a great verse of encouragement and hope, Isaiah 41:10. It's worth memorizing. God speaking. It says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Isn't that a great verse? Isn't that a powerful verse? When you look at that verse, though, in context, it has an added shade of meaning that doesn't detract anything from the context we use it in, but actually it adds something. The previous two verses, when you start reading in verse 8, says, "But you, O Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from the farthest corners, I called you. I said, 'You are my servant, I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.'" You see, that verse is for God's people who have been called to be servants of his. That passage, two times in just those three verses, you see the word chosen or called, and you see the word servant, because we are called to be servants. And when God calls you that way, when he says, "Here's what I'd like you to do," then you respond and say, "Okay." I'll pick on Vern because he's here. I don't like talking behind people's backs. You notice how nice and bright our sanctuary is? That's because a guy felt called to be God's servant, and he knew that he had double knee surgery coming up. And so he got out that ladder that fits just nicely, like it was made to fit between these pews, and with hurting knees, climbed up and put new light bulbs in all of those. What, a week before you went to have surgery? Maybe 2 weeks before you went to have surgery, Vern. That's a servant's heart. Look at what God has for you to do. Because he has called you and chosen you to do these things. Do you hear him calling you? Have you heard him calling you? Don't miss your calling. I think a lot of people miss their calling. If your calling is singing and you work as a laborer, maybe that's not so tragic. If your calling is computers and you spend your time in the woods, I guess that's all right. That's not a big deal. I'm not sure that that might be a calling from God. I don't know. Don't know that it's that big a deal. But if you miss your calling from God to some of the things we've mentioned today, especially to the first one, that would be tragic. But when you answer your calling to salvation, it's not tragic. It is glorious. It is glorious. You know, I hear people say this, and many times I feel this way myself. Sometimes life just stinks. It does, you know? You think of what Andrew is going through with his father-in-law and the question of, you know, how do we determine where to draw the line on continuing care here? That stinks that a family is put into that kind of a position. But what I love about the first call, the call to salvation, is how glorious it is in terms of what awaits us. Early on in ministry, I can remember I was a brand new pastor. Here I was, right out of Bible college, you know, and that first week I had to do a funeral for a 58-year-old woman who died of cancer. First week. My funeral was 12 minutes long. That was really embarrassing, you know. Fortunately, there was someone else who shared a testimony, and so the whole service maybe lasted 25 minutes. But I can remember how difficult it was as a young pastor learning to help this family through this incredibly difficult time. And God gave me a verse that tells us our salvation is glorious because that woman had received Christ as her Savior. The verse is Romans 8, chapter 18. The Apostle Paul is writing about the struggle we have as Christians. And in the midst of that, when he's saying, life stinks sometimes, he says these words, "For I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us." I love that. I love that. When you answer that first call and you say, yeah, I want to be saved. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and that I should be punished for them, but he took the punishment. God, forgive me. Jesus, come and live in my heart. The result of that call is glorious. And the second call, this call we have to holiness, it's incredibly wise. Because when you behave in an unholy manner, you bring so much grief and pain to your life and to the life of others. I was thinking of a biblical example of this, a practical everyday example. You and I all know men and women who have failed to live holy lives. Maybe they call themselves Christians and they have not lived like Jesus at all, and they have damaged not just themselves but their families. Maybe even you have been damaged by someone like that. Paul speaks of that kind of failure when he's writing to Timothy, and he says, "The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith," and listen to this line, "and have pierced themselves with many griefs." Pierced themselves by acting unholy, by failing to act in holiness. Acting in a holy manner is a very wise thing to do. John was sharing in Sunday school, I won't share the story. His dad demanded that he and his wife behave in a holy manner concerning a financial situation, and they did. And 50 years later, 60 years later, maybe, huh? They see that that was very wise to behave with holiness. It's not just wise, it's obedient, but it's wise as well. Are you answering a call to holiness in your life? And that third call, the call to service. Are you answering that call? I was thinking this week about people in my life who have answered the call to service and how it has influenced me personally. And I think of Mrs. S. That's what we call her, Mrs. S. She was a little crazy. I can remember she's probably about 45 years of age. She might have been 50. And she dressed like she thought she was going to be on MTV. I was a teenager, and that was always funny to us in church. You know, look at how she's dressed. What is she wearing this morning? And she had neons before neons were out there, I think, you know. And beyond that, she had her hair. It was like piled on top of her head. It made her about 3 feet taller than she should have been. Jet black hair, you know. Just a real kind of odd person, you know. Sometimes she played the organ in church, and my mom and I would always whisper, you know, she looks like Captain Nemo up there weaving back because she played with all the drama. Al, can you do that? Man, that's just worth seeing when you see that, you know. She was just, she was out there, but she served God. God put in her heart that our church needed a youth leader. And I think she only lasted there maybe a year or a year and a half. But she taught me stuff, a teen growing up in that church. She taught me stuff about music. I didn't realize how it was influencing me until she brought some material that showed us that. She taught me something about lost people because we had some lost kids, some other guys who came to a Christmas fellowship that she had at her house. And there we all were. And there's guys here that aren't part of our church. And there's only so many girls to go around. And to my shame, I say, the teenage boys in that youth group treated those guys like dirt, so they never came back. She sat down and talked to us about that and said, you know what? Those kids might have come to faith in Christ. What did you just do, Steve? What did you just do? She taught me, she taught me to step forward to do good things sometimes. Just by the way she lived. We're playing volleyball, I can remember this, and I never felt like I was good at volleyball. And she just walked up to me one time and said, you are really good at this, Steve. I thought, that confirms that she is insane, you know. But I heard her say that, and I felt something inside of me. And I saw the power of encouragement. Because one kind of crazy woman with her hair stacked on top of her head, weaving back and forth in front of an organ, decided to answer God's call to serve. That's really neat. That's really blessed, isn't it? We were blessed because of her service to the Lord. Starting up a new year here, and I'm thinking to myself, the calling of God, is it on your life? Are you responding to it? Have you responded to His call to salvation? If you haven't, do it. You don't need to come to an altar, but you can come to an altar. You don't need to have any special ceremony. You just, in your heart, need to talk to God and say, yeah, I need to be forgiven. I believe Jesus paid it all. I want to follow you. The call to holiness. Are you responding to that? Or is there junk in your life? Sometimes as a pastor, you really wish you could swear. You know what I mean? I can swear, but I choose not to. But when I say, have you answered God's call to holiness? Is there junk in your life? I want a different word from junk. You know, one that you might have used when you were cleaning out the barn. One of those words, you know? Is there trash in your life? And the reason I want to use that is not to be flamboyant, although Jesus was incredibly radical when he preached. I think I would get fired if I was as radical as he. But the reason I say that instead is to really point out that it's garbage if it's in your life. So have you answered his call to holiness and said, Jesus, I need you to sweep the garbage out of my life? And third, are you answering his call to service? Look at the verse again. God has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. He has a purpose. Have you answered that?